Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Haunted Hinsdale House, by Anonymous. My story is about the infamous Haunted Hinsdale House, located in western New York. There's a bit of lore I need to explain first. The house was built in 1871 and sits in the middle of nowhere. Over the years, many rumors have surrounded the land and what happened there. But because of the time period, documentation was limited. Only a few events were ever recorded in newspapers, and the rest is part of legend. The house was an old farmhouse that belonged to the McMahon family. It was rumored to have once been an inn or bed and breakfast, possibly serving as a stagecoach stop. One story claimed the McMahon brothers would rob and kill wealthy passengers and hide their bodies in the crawl space beneath the house. Whether that's true or not is impossible to say. Again, documentation is scarce. In the 1970s, a family purchased the property, which sat on around 10 acres of land and included a pond. Before 1970, there had been a barn where the pond now sits. The family consisted of a mom, dad, and four children. During the few years they lived there, it's said that they experienced unexplainable things. Footsteps, eerie feelings, and objects being thrown, full-body apparitions, voices, car trouble after being on the property, a phantom car pulling into the driveway, and one daughter going into what they called a trance. At the time, talking openly about ghosts was almost blasphemous, so they only told a few close people. Years later, the mother documented everything in a journal-style book. Eventually, the family moved all the way to California to escape the house. Even after moving, the daughter who had gone into a trance believed something had followed her. She also claimed she would die young, and she did, passing away in her late 20s or early 30s from a medication overdose. After they left, the house stayed with a realtor for over 20 years. In the late 70s or early 80s, it was purchased by an elderly couple who lived there until 2010, when they passed away just months apart. They were skeptical of ghosts, but admitted to strange experiences, including the wife waking up to see a man in a flannel shirt holding a shotgun at her bedside. Because of the house's reputation, people would drive down the driveway just to see it. At one point, the couple allowed a paranormal researcher to conduct tours on the property in order to help pay for a new furnace. The property was blessed before tours, and sometimes visitors were invited inside. My husband was one of those visitors. He attended a tour with his son, sister, and brother-in-law. Before even reaching the house, as they crossed the railroad tracks at the bottom of the hill, my husband heard laughter. The kind that sounds like, "I'm going to get you." During the tour, while sitting behind the house, he felt a warm sensation from his chest down to his thighs. He swatted it away, but it returned twice. When they got back in the car, he asked if anyone else felt anything, and others described it as feeling like someone had sat in their lap. Months later, while remodeling the home, my husband bent down to pick up a hammer, and the next thing he knew, 15 to 30 minutes had passed. When he came to, he was on his knees with his hands behind his back, unable to move. The position seemed like it was execution style. Eventually, he rolled outside and called his mom, worried someone had attacked him. There were no signs of injury or a break-in. I should mention here that my husband is blind. Back at the house after the elderly couple passed in 2010, it returned to the realtor. The house was never fully paid off by any owner. Money was said to disappear from wallets while on the property. The realtor planned to demolish the house. In 2012, a paranormal team saved it by buying the property. From 2010 to 2012, the house had been vandalized by teens and partiers. The team asked for volunteers to help fix it up for a documentary. My husband and I volunteered, mostly because we wanted to see inside. Inside the house were a pentagram on the floor and a large hole where the furnace once sat. Strange things happened during renovations. One night, while upstairs investigating with others, we heard a growl from downstairs. Later, a hiss occurred, and I went downstairs. Back upstairs, something kept blocking the moonlight in a small bedroom. My husband walked into the room, and a coat hanger began swinging on a nail. There was no wind. When he taunted whatever was there, he was slammed into the wall by something unseen. After that night, everything changed. The house had a way of calling people back. About a week later, my husband became angry and cold on the side where he was pushed. A demonologist spoke Latin to him over the phone, which nearly caused him to vomit. He was instructed to repeat the St. Michael prayer, but couldn't hear it. He then decided he needed to take whatever this was back to the house. During the drive, he began speaking in a low, monotone voice, reacting to conversations he shouldn't have known about. He identified who was calling my phone without being told. At the house, he navigated directly to the basement, despite never having seen the layout. A prayer necklace freed him, but it wasn't over. The next morning, he said, "It's back." For the next year, this entity remained attached to him, feeding off anger. He had vivid dreams of being another man, killed, cursed, violent. Names in the year 1507 were mentioned, but no records could be found. On Halloween night of 2013, my husband went into another trance. When I tried to contact the demonologist, he looked directly at me, and my body felt like it was on fire. That was the final straw. I then contacted a pagan priest who met with my husband and I to get rid of this entity for good. About a couple of weeks later, that nasty thing was finally gone for good.
Lost Earring Reappeared by Strawberry Muffin 22. For some background context, this happened in 2019. But the story starts in the summer of 2017. So in the summer of 2017, I was working at a dog kennel. I had these cute new stud earrings with rainbow gems on them. Very simple. Well, one day when I was at work, one of the dogs headbutted me in the ear, knocking the earring gem off, and it fell onto the cement. I picked it up inside because I was frustrated since I had just gotten them, but I put it in my pocket to fix later. At the end of my shift that day, I took the earring post and the gem out of my pocket and put them in the center console of my car with the intention of fixing it later. Fast forward 1 week. I remembered the earring in my center console, and I went to get it so that I could fix it. When I opened the console, it was gone. No trace of it. I looked in every crack and crevice, but I could not find it. This made me even more frustrated because now I couldn't even fix my broken earring. I accepted defeat and moved on. Over the next 2 years, I carried on life as usual, thinking about the missing gem once or twice, but mostly just forgetting about the whole ordeal. It's important to note that in these 2 years, I cleaned out my car, and in the winter of 2017, also began vaping. I've quit since, so I don't want advice on that. But if you know box vape mods, you know you have to regularly change the coils because they get burnt over time, and I had been doing that regularly. Well, fast forward to 2019. I'm driving while talking to a friend who's sitting in the passenger seat. He says something and I open my mouth to respond, when I feel something fall out of my mouth and into my lap. Immediately, I just assume it's a tooth. I do have a massive fear of losing my teeth. So I pulled over, silently praying I was wrong. I pick the item up out of my lap, and it's the missing earring gem. To this day, I have no idea how that happened, and I'm still absolutely baffled by it. To answer some common questions that people have asked me about this, yes, I am 100% sure it fell out of my mouth. I felt it in there the second before I opened my mouth. No, it was not previously in my mouth. Why and how would I have stored a missing gem in my mouth for 2 years? It wasn't lodged in my sinuses the whole time. The gem is just about the size of a pebble, so I would definitely have felt it. No, there was nothing else in my lap or in the car seat that I could have mistaken for the gem. I had cleaned my car a week before this happened, and I distinctly remember there being nothing else in my seat or lap that it could have been. It wasn't my vape when I took a hit. It would have blocked the airflow, firstly, and secondly, I would have noticed, since I had taken a hit of my vape just a minute or two before opening my mouth to talk, and there was nothing in my mouth at that time. Plus, it would have been fully inhaled if it was in my vape, and I would have felt that.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Two Short Stories by Anne. When I was a kid, and I'm still under 18 while writing this, my great-grandparents died. My great-grandpa never liked those young married couples that were kind of punks, I guess. The ones who dipped out of high school and got married early. After my great-grandparents died, one of those couples moved into their log cabin out in the woods. After about a month of renovating the house and making all kinds of changes, Mind you, my great-grandfather built this house himself. Something strange then started happening. Every couple of days, the back door would be wide open. All the deadbolts would be unlocked, and the door would just be standing there, open. It got so unnerving that the young couple called my grandma, who sold them the cabin, and asked her a question. "Hey, does the back door ever randomly open by itself? And also, why does the workshop lamp keep randomly turning on?" My great-grandpa was always down in the basement, in that workshop. He liked to leave the door open, for a breeze. My grandma called them back. All she said was, "Oh, you know, Dad must have came by for a visit." She scared those kids so bad. But to this day, they still live there. I have one other story. My Uncle John died tragically before I was born. He died at 18, and my family never speaks of him because of what happened. Last summer, I went to Texas to visit my grandmother. She gave me an old jacket that belonged to him. After the trip, I went home, and I swear, this jacket must be important. It was after Christmas when I went, and when I came back to school, the winter ball was that weekend. I had this blue dress I wanted to wear. I was trying it on in front of my mirror at home, and I started to cry because I felt like I looked so bad in it. I kept trying to look at myself in a way where I might look pretty. All of a sudden, I felt this warm presence. I turned around, and there was my uncle. Young-looking, the way he looked before he died. He grabbed my hand, and he told me I looked as pretty as a flower. Then he hugged me, and just like that, he was gone. I knew if I told anyone in my family, I would be shamed for talking about him. But to my uncle, "I still think about you, even though I only met you once. I miss you. Does anyone know if I might see him again? Or how?"
In Ireland, there are still kings, lords, and fucking fairies. By My Name Is Befriar. Back in 2017, I finally decided to travel for a week in Ireland, the homeland of much of my ancestry. Much to my determination and thrill, and perhaps because of the small window of time, I had already visited several ancient sacred sites within just a couple of days. While visiting the Hill of Tara, I had the odd experience of meeting the last appointed king of Tara, at least according to an aging, portly, and well-bearded man living out his days in a van parked next to the hill, apparently informing people of such. He didn't appear mad or senile, so to this day I give him the benefit of the doubt. To my pleasure, I even had the experience of joining this king and some other traveler folk in a sort of hokey-pokey seance. I can't speak to how authentic the seance was. Words and prayers said aloud, offerings, libations plenty, smoking the devil's lettuce, no doubt, nothing wrong at all. It just seemed to lack the authenticity and genuineness that one would hope to experience when unexpectedly becoming part of such an evening. The only thing of true noteworthiness from that night was when we sat, or I guess we stood and danced, by the fire, and one of the ladies exclaimed something and got everyone to stop. Supposedly, over my left shoulder and somewhere in the thickets, there was a yellow or golden light. Of course, none of us could see it, so after a brief pause to inspect the claim, to no avail, we simply continued with our evening. We made an overnight camp just below the hill in the thickets so as not to draw attention. I was actually the first to set up camp, and the others joined my site later that day. Nothing else of interest occurred, and thus we parted ways the next morning. Skipping ahead, I was now approaching Portrush in Northern Ireland. I had just departed the quaint hometown of actress Michelle Fairley, who was known for her role as Catelyn Stark in Game of Thrones. I happened to stumble upon her family's old-timey bar, and what a lovely, warm place it was. Unfortunately, nobody was there besides the employee, who was as friendly as could be. It was already close to evening, however, and I had to catch a bus to complete my journey to Portrush. After my lonely bus ride, as it was late into the evening, I had planned along the way to camp out in one of the caves near the Giant's Causeway after hearing about the grand possibility and stories from the locals. But once I leapt off the bus, I realized I had no real bearings as to where I was. I asked the bus driver where I might pitch a tent for the night, and he suggested grassy dunes on the coastal shore where no one would bother or make a fuss. So that evening, I made my way to the grass-covered dunes. The wind was blistering, but I trudged along in the tall grass. I eventually found the most perfect grassy little dell. It was really tiny, just enough of a perfect coffin-sized space for me to lie down and set my tent, and even deep enough that it offered me some protection from the wind, if I were kneeling. Luckily for me, my tent was just low enough that the wind wasn't too loud. Incredibly happy with the small refuge I had made for myself, I had to christen it with a few photos. My main tool for documenting my journey was a brand new phone I had purchased the week prior. It was a model called Hammer, something produced by Samsung, perfect for a rough adventurer like myself. It had done well so far on the journey, and I wanted to see if it might capture the glory of my little campsite against the backdrop of the sea. So after setting my little nest inside the tent, I went around to the other side, plopped down on the ground, laid back out of the path of the wind, and took my first shot. I had been wearing a headlamp the entire time, and it illuminated the camp for the photo, but unfortunately blocked out the sea, which couldn't have been helped. The camera either didn't have the proper low-light setting, or I simply didn't know how to activate it. Reviewing my first shot, I immediately noticed something odd about the image. Directly above my tent was a small greenish-gold light. I was totally perplexed and slightly confused. The lights of the ships were visible far off on the horizon, but none of them gave off such a light that could possibly be in a position above my tent. I looked around and tried to spot it with the headlamp, but no success. Seeing nothing, and in my confusion and confuddlement, I turned off my lamp. Yet there was still no sign of what caused the light, at least nothing my naked eye could capture. This all happened in the span of several seconds. I knew it couldn't be an insect of any sort, as the wind was too strong, and I should have been able to catch it in the beam of my lamp. A small bird? Maybe a hummingbird? Even such an idea was still preposterous. The only logical thing I could think of was to check if it showed up in more pictures, and it did. I couldn't see it with the naked eye, but evidently, through the images I was gathering, the light appeared to be moving this way and that, above and around my tent. I took as many photos as I could until it simply appeared to leave, and the rest of the images were devoid of the mystery light. I couldn't bring myself to think much of it, just some random light phenomenon. Perplexed as I was, I brushed it off and went to bed, as the only thing I could really do was get some rest for the next day. I woke up at dawn feeling charged and ready to begin the day. My tent was a small one, so I made the most of my space. Boots outside under the rain fly, my 7-liter backpack inside, either standing up on its side, and my personal effects placed in the tent's side pockets. In the morning, I collected my belongings. Now, I mentioned my phone earlier. The Hammer was brand new. A Galaxy S6 active. I'm well aware of the radiation such phones emit, so instead of placing it in one of the pockets, I had placed it atop my backpack. When I picked it up from that exact spot, I was met with a surprise. The fracture and scratch-resistant glass had a brutal-looking impact fracture at the top center of the phone, right about where the infrared light and speaker are. I was completely taken aback and a bit furious at the damage to my brand new phone. I'll insist to my dying day that the phone was in absolute prime condition when I set it down.
I had taken no falls, nor made any accidental drops that night or during the entire trip. My camp was set up in a grassy little dell. No stones, not even sticks, only sand below. There was no evidence left behind as to who or what could have possibly caused this. The damage was fresh, and there were even small fragments of glass and metal across the surface and on the backpack. I now know that I probably upset whatever this thing was. Personally, I conclude it was a fairy rather than a will-o'-the-wisp, based on the entire occurrence. But what it truly was, maybe technology can one day help uncover just what this mystery light was. For now, I'm just left with a story that only this audience might believe.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Weird Boathouse Experience by Bill. I haven't listened to this podcast, but my wife asked me to email you guys about my experience, so here I am. I never believed in anything paranormal, mostly because I grew up in apartments where every noise had an explanation, like pipes, neighbors, or traffic. But that changed when I started working at a wildlife hatchery in 2014. It was run by the state we live in, and sat at the edge of a reservoir, miles from town. I worked the evening shift. There were technically two of us on nights, but we worked separate zones. The main building was concrete and steel, built in the 60s, with long hallways and flickering fluorescent lights. There was also an older structure down the hill, a wooden maintenance shed that existed before the hatchery itself. Everyone called it the boathouse, even though no boats had been stored there for decades. Part of closing was making sure the outbuildings near the reservoir were locked, including the old boathouse. My third week on the job, I started noticing the radio. I used an old handheld to check in with the night supervisor. Mine would start crackling on its own at around 9:15 every night. No voices, just open channel static. Like someone pressing the transmit button but never saying anything. I mentioned it once, and my supervisor laughed. He said reception was terrible near the water. That explanation worked, until I realized it only happened when I was near the boathouse. One night, I decided to test it. I stayed up by the main building until 9:30. Nothing. No static, no interference. The following night, I walked down toward the reservoir at 9 o'clock. And I paced around for a bit. The radio started going off. I checked the time. It was 9:17. I stopped walking, and the static stopped too. It didn't start back up again when I started walking, though. I decided to check out the creepy boathouse. Maintenance sometimes went in there during the day, so it wasn't unusual for people to be there. The light was on, which was just a bare bulb that hung from the ceiling. I knew for a fact I hadn't turned it on the last time I was in there. I convinced myself someone must have forgotten to turn it off. But for the record, I asked my boss and the day shift workers if they had turned it on. But apparently, I was the last person to have gone in there before this visit. The last time I was there, I just shined my flashlight in as a routine security check. It was mostly empty, except for some rusty shelves and a dusty workbench. There was also a cork board that leaned up against a wall, with a bunch of old papers pinned to it. They weren't schematics or schedules like I expected, just handwritten notes. I never bothered to read them before, but I decided to take a look. Most of it wasn't eligible, but I could make out some dates, times, and names. I noticed much of the recorded times were around 9:15, give or take a few minutes. As I was standing there, my radio went off again, louder this time. It was probably around 9:20, I forgot to check. Through the static, I thought I heard breathing that sounded slow and deliberate. I lifted the radio and asked my boss if anyone was on the channel. He didn't respond, and the breathing stopped immediately. Then I saw footprints I hadn't noticed when I first entered. They were wet and led from the reservoir straight into the boathouse. The footprints stopped in front of the corkboard. Toes pointed toward it, like whoever had made them had stood there reading the notes. I checked my shoes and they weren't wet either. I left. I didn't run, but I didn't walk either. Something in between, like my body was moving on instinct and my mind hadn't caught up yet. I made my way back to my desk and just sat there, trying to think who the prince could have belonged to. My supervisor swore he didn't visit the boathouse that night. He wanted to check it out with me, but I politely declined. He dropped it without much of a reaction, and we wrapped up our shift shortly later. The next day, I asked one of the older employees about the boathouse before he went home. He went quiet, in a way that makes me laugh now for seeming so dramatic. Then he told me that before the hatchery existed, a night watchman used to patrol the reservoir. Decades ago, he drowned during a routine check. They found his body near the boathouse at 9:17 p.m. I asked about the notes on the corkboard. He said he never saw any notes on it. I was puzzled, but not scared. I made a point to visit the boathouse again that night, at the beginning of my shift this time, and the corkboard was gone. Maybe somebody threw it away, but that seems too much of a coincidence. It looked like it had been there forever. I even checked the dumpster. There were a few bags of trash in there, but no corkboard. I ended up quitting a couple of weeks later, for unrelated reasons. I still don't believe in ghosts in the way society portrays them, but I don't think paranormal explanations are all that impossible.
I'm Still Shocked by Mr. Crossy. This was the scariest and most confusing thing that has ever happened to me. About 3 days ago, I was finishing my workout session at the gym, and I went straight home. It was a little bit late, around 10:30 p.m., and on my way home, as the gym is nearby, so I was walking back on foot, I came across a stray cat that was pretty friendly and, from the looks of it, hungry. It followed me, and I thought, why the hell not feed it? When we arrived at home, I saw my brother through the kitchen window. I was going to ask him to bring some cat food out, or any meat that he could find in the house, because if I left the cat alone, even for a minute, it might leave. But since my brother was eating at the time, I didn't want to bother him, so I let the cat inside the hallway and left. The first thing that came to my mind was to return the weightlifting belt that I had borrowed from my brother, so I went into his room really fast. As I opened the door, I thought the room was empty, and I just threw the belt on the floor. Well, it was in fact not empty. My brother, startled by the noise, instantly woke up. I turned on the light and asked him, Did you just go from eating to sleeping in a matter of seconds? I was already a bit shocked, even scared, because I knew that was impossible. Man, he could barely open his eyes, let alone speak. I immediately realized he had been sleeping for a while, so I apologized for waking him up and just left the room. As I was going through the hallway, my heart was pounding. I knew I had seen my brother crystal clear in the kitchen just a minute ago. So as I entered the kitchen in a full panic, there was no one at the table. There wasn't even food on the table. I had seen him eating food there, but even the plate that was in front of him was gone. The shirt that I saw him wearing was the same shirt he had worn that day. There was no one in the kitchen, though. So I thought maybe it was my mother sitting there instead. There was no other explanation. She was in the room next to it, with the door open, watching TV. I went in there and asked her, "Were you just in the kitchen a minute ago?" She said that she wasn't. She told me she heard me enter the house, but there had been no other noises in the past hour, and there was no noise coming from the kitchen at all. And that was the moment that I was truly scared, although very curious. My thoughts were all over the place that night. I slept with my lights on, and before anyone asks, it didn't stop me from feeding the stray cat. The next day, I told my brother everything and he laughed at it. But I know what I saw, and I'm 100% sure of it.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, let's get these comments out of the way. We have Flecktarn, referencing episode 210. They said on Spotify comments, catching up on some of the episodes I missed over the holidays, referencing episode 210's mention of Under the Silver Lake. Before I go any further, did you watch that yet?
Nope, not yet.
That was my recommendation that you said you wrote down. You're like, I'm writing it down. I'm putting it in on my list. I'm taking it. Like, I was like, take this one seriously. You've got to watch this.
I will do better and I'll make sure to finish it before next episode and I'll give you my thoughts.
Okay, you give me a movie to watch before next week and we'll do the same exact thing and we can talk about it.
American Me and Colors is a good double feature about gang life in LA.
Got it. Okay, and they said all the hidden cryptic things in the movie. There are two other movies like that worth checking out. They are Blair Witch 2. Surprising.
Wow.
They said, honestly, it gets a bad rap because it's a sequel, but it's awesome. I actually haven't even seen the first one. I don't know why. I just never got around to watching it.
Yeah, I watched it a bit later after the hype, but I'm sure if I had watched it when I was 12 or whatever, however old I was when it came out, it would have been amazing. It was still pretty good, I think. It was still pretty good.
I'll just have to back-to-back watch them. I do like found footage. Paranormal Activity 1 and 2, I think, are really good movies. They're really scary.
Oh, yeah. Creep and Record, or REC, however.
Yep. I think, is what the director wanted it referred to as. I don't know. That movie rules. You're right. I love that movie.
VHS.
Yeah, I love VHS, too. I like when it's fictional found footage, but the person commenting actually went on to reference another one. They said also Ghostwatch. It caused this national incident in the UK when it first aired. It was basically like a mock TV show where they were investigating like a haunting and everybody thought that it was real. It was kind of like a War of the Worlds type thing.
I was going to say, it makes me think of like the government didn't know about Independence Day being fictional and they just freaked out. Our dear president would cast war against actual aliens.
Yeah, immediately. Actual aliens from space. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we would never, ever refer to a human being as an alien. But Ghostwatch, yeah, so this is actually in a genre of movies and TV shows that I actually don't like. Like I said, I like found footage when it's presented as fiction and you know it's fiction, but something that pretends to be like a real documentary, like a mockumentary or a faux documentary and presents itself like that, I actually don't enjoy it at all. I don't know why. It just takes me out of it completely.
Wow. Even like This is Spinal Tap, an American movie?
No, that's okay, because that's funny. I mean, horror in the horror genre.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm super picky with horror too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they present themselves as truth. I think it was called Lake Mungo. I think I'm referencing that right. That was one that I tried to watch and I just couldn't do it. As soon as I read up that it was not real, I was like, oh, this is totally presenting itself as a real documentary. And it was presented like an actual documentary with a narrator and everything. And I was like, this is cool. Unfortunately, I looked it up before I finished. I probably would have enjoyed it, but there's something about my brain that won't let me enjoy them when I know they're presenting it as real and it's not real.
Just like viral videos of today. It's just all horrible. I don't even scroll anymore because everything is just so just full of AI crap and people trying to pose these fake, the airplane stuff like we talked about. Every time I see an airplane, I'm like, oh, I just throw my phone across the room.
I hate those videos. It's not real, people. My family members, I won't say which ones, will send them to me all the time. And they'll be like, look at this. I'm like, you know, this is fake. It's either AI or it's staged. And it's poorly done, like really, really bad.
I think I get more mad at the people who comment as if it's real and play into it.
Yeah.
It just makes me lose faith in humanity twice as bad.
Yeah, definitely does. I need to stop scrolling. I need to do one of those replace doom scrolling with this app.
You know what? Those things are pretty good. I've tried a couple. But it got to the point where I just realized I just don't need to be on my phone. So I just don't do that anymore. I play Pokemon on the emulator and that's about it. Check my emails.
So then I got to ask you, because I want to say 99.9% of us, including me, we all just grab our phones and start scrolling when we don't have anything going on and we just want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do during that time?
Oh, I embrace the boredom and just, that's just how life is. So if I'm waiting somewhere for an appointment or just need to pass time, either I'll bring a small book with me or I'll people watch, revisit certain subjects in my mind and become more comfortable with being bored. I think that's really important.
You know, that's a great idea because I always set time aside to read, like usually before bed because after an hour or so, I get really sleepy. Maybe I should just carry my e-reader with me and then instead of grabbing my phone, I'll just like read a chapter real quick. I should probably do that. That's a much better idea.
Yeah. Yep. My Kindle's always in the car.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on to the next one so we can get in some stories. Oh yeah, totally, referencing episode 214, said, I haven't listened to it yet, but I just saw the title and immediately started singing Lesbian Vampires from Outer Space. I actually know exactly what song you're talking about. That title actually changed. I uploaded it and it had something to do with the stork, the genie stork in the title.
Mm.
And then somebody, yeah, it was PBR Street Gang said, I've been reading a book called Beyond the Planet of the Vampires, thinking a lot about the Italian movie called Planet of the Vampires. So the synchronicity is there. And then I also read Nick's comment that said, we finally get an alien abduction story. These are from Discord. And Andy says, it's a vampire. I was in my car shaking my fist in the air. And then I realized like, oh no, I need to change the title of the episode. It was called something about the stork genies, but I changed it to Vampires from Outer Space because it just felt more appropriate and cuter.
Yeah, it was a good creative titling of the episode. I think it's kind of cool when we can take some liberties and name the episode something that's not the name of a story, but it's still suitable.
I think you've done that before because you were normally the uploader of the episodes. I only started doing it with you recently. But anyways, let's get some stories for this week.
Let's do it. So I think the haunted Hinsdale house, we can add that to the list of places that we won't visit. And it's worth noting that they do offer overnight stays for up to 6 people for only $350. So whatever that math is, if there are 4 others that want to take a trip out to Western New York and stay in this place, maybe we can do it. I don't know. Don't be weird. Don't kill us. Don't touch us. But I'm down.
And is this the whole house for $350 or just a room?
I would imagine you'd have access to the whole house. I mean, for $350, you better.
Like an Airbnb, basically.
Exactly, yeah. And I would be tempted to bring the small amount of ghost equipment that I have and never use with me and just make a fun little adventure out of it. Because it seems to be like pretty substantial with other stories that I kind of looked up on.
You know, if we actually did this and we went to New York for a trip, and it would be a write-off. It would be a work trip.
That is true. Got to work the tax system.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it work for us for once.
Get some video content. Finally have something to post on social media.
Oh, yeah.
It's been over a year. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can stay overnight. That's pretty cool. And jumping to the end here of the story, I do have one comment on this. I thought it was interesting how the pagan priest is the one that did the job in this story, whereas like in the majority of these cases, it's the opposite. It's like a Catholic priest most of the time. Yeah. Or something having to do with the opposite religion. Yeah, it was interesting that the pagan priest worked, and it still just kind of proves our point that it's the intention that counts. You know, it's the energy that you put into banishing whatever this thing is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It could be that they were hesitant or didn't think that the other religious interveners were going to do anything. So maybe they just had already made up in their mind, like, hey, yeah, the pagans, they're going to get it right. And then sure enough, it did.
Yeah. And it seems like we have an appearance of the infamous or semi-infamous Flannel Man in this story.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, so they woke up to this Flannel Man holding a shotgun by the bedside.
Yeah.
And they saw it as an intruder, but what if the big plot twist was the Flannel Man was a member of the original McMahon family and saw this couple who moved there during the 70s as the intruders of his domain? You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Hence the shotgun. He was like, what are you doing in my house? Get out of my home, buddy.
No, I could see that. I was more so thinking more along the lines of the Flannel Man that Timothy Renner talks about, the guy that we had on the show, the host of Strange Familiars, still a fantastic podcast. Make sure you check it out. But he has a lot of stories on his podcast about the Flannel Man. It's just kind of like one of those cryptids that appears, kind of a ghostly figure.
Spooky lumberjack.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also something that's very heavy in Twin Peaks lore as well.
Nice, nice. Yeah, could be. Who knows? Who knows if it's related or its own sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool story. Don't really have anything else to add about it if you don't, but I think that's the main takeaway. We might have to consider using that tax write-off and taking a visit.
I agree. Yeah. I want to talk about two of the stories briefly that I talked about this week, and that was the lost earring and the shocked story by Mr. Crossy. So both had this weird, like, glitch in the matrix, mind-bending experience. One was the shock story where they saw their brother in the kitchen eating, preparing food or whatever, and they immediately go into the house, and the brother's not there. The brother's actually in bed, and they've been asleep the whole time. Now, the connection between that and the lost earring story, they both began with an animal. So I'm wondering, with the still shocked story, could the cat have something to do with the vision of the brother in the kitchen? You know, he found the cat followed him. The whole point was for him to get some food for the cat. Maybe the cat projected the vision of the brother preparing food because he's like, man, I want you to get me some food.
I like that. Could be. Could be. For the lost earring, all I could really think of was the parody videos of David Blaine making things appear in the most random places. Like, just popping out of her mouth like that. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I thought of that too, actually.
How does that even happen? Where's your gem? I don't know. Check your mouth.
He turns around, stares at the camera.
Yep.
Man, that's a classic. If you haven't seen it, if you're under, you know, if you were born in the late 90s, you probably missed this one. But make sure you check out the David Blaine spoof video from the early 2000s. Great stuff. The lost earring, the gem reappears in her mouth, but this all started with a dog. She was working at the kennel. The dog is the one that hit it out of her ear, like knocked it out on purpose and started this whole weird glitch in the matrix thing. Now, the cat thing makes sense. He wanted some food, so he showed a vision of food in the kitchen, and it happened to be the brother making food. That's my theory for that story, because cats are creepy. I love them, but they're also creepy. This one, I don't know what the purpose of the dog hitting her in the ear and knocking the gem out of the earring is, but it's related. There's a connection there with the still shocked story. I can't figure it out. So listeners, If you can figure out, what do you think the dog, what do you think his purpose was in knocking the earring, Jim, out of the earring at the beginning of this story, which triggered the whole thing?
Well, cats may be creepy, but I'm going to go ahead and say that dogs are invasive and can be a little bit intrusive.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just what the dog was doing. It was just invading the author's space and being a little annoying. God bless them, love them too, but that's what it was. And now it just pops out of her mouth at the most inopportune time.
Yeah, it makes me think of Buckles. Rest in peace, man. He just used rest to ram peace. Right into my crotch every time I walked through the door and came home.
Yep. Yeah. Remember that video that the other Andrew took of me, of Buckles humping me at the barbecue?
I do. Yeah.
That was a good time.
He loved you.
Yeah. Loved him too.
Yeah.
So we can touch on the other two stories that I did real quick and we can go to sleep here.
Yeah.
So for the two short stories by Anne, like them quite a bit. I did think it was interesting to note that something similar happened in episode 208 when that can of paint thinner showed up in the middle of the garage out of nowhere, like right in the middle of the pathway where the people had just walked through.
Yeah.
And I think that's just more proof that grandpas are territorial. In this case, a grandpa wanted to keep that door open to keep the breeze through, and those rotten young punks didn't want it open, but he said otherwise.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting.
I didn't make that connection originally, but now that you bring it up, it's almost the same exact thing.
And I thought it was very precious that her late uncle visited her when she was feeling a little insecure and not so pretty, and that might just be a plus one for haunted objects being a thing, because it only happened after she brought his jacket home.
Yeah.
It's a little unfortunate that the family has a we don't talk about Bruno mentality, like from Encanto.
It's weird. Oh, God, it is so weird that you just said that. That song just popped into my head like while we were talking a minute ago for no reason.
Weird. Like a minute ago?
It's been repeating in my head while we've been talking. Yeah.
It's a jingle for sure. That's funny. Huh.
And I haven't even seen that movie. It's just, you know, it's such a catchy song. It's appeared everywhere for a while, but weird.
The last thing I can really touch on that is that Anne mentioned wanting to know if she would ever see her uncle again and how to make it happen.
Yeah.
If anything else, that shows that she's emotionally open to the paranormal, which is maybe why or how she was able to see him to begin with. But I personally think that seeking contact is better left alone. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. But we just don't know the intentions of whatever may pull through when you try to reach out to the other side. You know what I mean? So you won't find me giving any advice on how to tap into that.
Yeah, my only advice that I will give is if you're going to do that, make sure it's with somebody with a lot of experience with this stuff. Get a pro. So I thought it was interesting because you wanted to talk about that, the boathouse story. I thought it was interesting that Bill made sure to let us know that he does not listen to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. Buddy, let's go ahead and badmouth him since he won't be hearing this anyway.
He took the time out to write in at the request of his wife. We're ragging on him.
I hate you guys so much, but anyway, here's my story, losers. Yeah, there's nothing really to add to this, but I did think it was interesting how the cork board just seemed to disappear. Because I don't know who would take it home with them. If somebody were to try to mess with him, like maybe the other coworker who he confided in, maybe he tried to hide it somewhere or threw it away, but it wasn't in the dumpster. That's a weird thing to load up in your car, some old dusty cork board. And then between the radio and the footprints, we might have a little something.
Oh yeah, there's definitely something here. I loved this story. I'm glad that his wife talked him into sending this one in.
Forced him to.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, if you don't listen to the podcast and your wife is begging you to send in a story, by all means, go ahead and send it in. Maybe Bill will be a fan after this one, after we've made fun of him a bunch. Send in into stories at oddtrails.com and sign up for a Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes. And check out my other podcasts, Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see you guys next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling. Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.